Hello, and welcome back to Spinal Cast. I'm your host, David Stevens, and joining us today is Hunter Pinky. Hunter is a recent graduate from the University of Arizona, in which he also served as the captain of the U of A wheelchair basketball team for the past two seasons. And he's also a keynote and motivational speaker, along with design consultant at Pinky Homes. Hunter, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, man, it's good to be on here with you and get to chat with you. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, you know, I always say we have kind of a game plan for these episodes, but today I think our game plan is really pretty simple. I'd love for our audience to get, you know, a little bit of a insight into your story, but really, you know, learn more about your outlook on life and the inspiration that you can share with others, and kind of just roll with those punches. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, perfect. Let's go ahead and just jump into the questions then. So I was poking around on your website. It obviously is very forthcoming that you are a lifelong North Dakotan, and obviously very talented as a football player as well, given your high school and collegiate football playing. But can you take us back to your childhood? What was it like, you know, growing up in North Dakota, and were sports always a big thing, or did they kind of become more of a pastime as you got older?
Yeah, you're right, David. I am a proud North Dakotan. There's not too many of us, so we got to stick together up there in the north. But I had a great childhood. I mean, I grew up probably like a lot of your listeners in small town America. And whether you're from North Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, anywhere in the Midwest, we all kind of grew up the same. There's not a ton to do in small town rural America besides hunting, fishing, going to the pool in the summertime, playing sports with your friends, just good living. And I think sports were probably a big part of my life from the start. My family, we're all athletes, my grandpa, my mom, my aunts, my uncles. And so growing up watching them, I just had this immediate urge from a young age to pursue athletics and compete, whether it was baseball, basketball, football, lacrosse, I mean, anything. I just wanted to compete. So that was just, I would say it was really a testament of the family and the environment that I grew up in kind of led to my competitive spirit and my pursuit of athletics.
Awesome. Did you have any siblings growing up?
I got two younger sisters.
Okay.
But I'm the oldest. So, I had two younger sisters in my house growing up. So what is that? Fourth grade. I got my first one that was living with me. And then sixth grade, I got my second one. So my senior year was our only year that we were all in school at the same time. I was a senior in high school, and I had a second grade and a kindergartner.
There you go.
Awesome.
Well, they've got a great older brother to look up to, that's for sure. So, you know, going into the sports a little bit further then, obviously, I know on your website it calls out the fact that you played tight end at UND. So what kind of led you to selecting UND when you were, you know, looking at colleges? Obviously you're a North Dakotan and proud of that. But I would assume you had some other options out there as well. What kind of led you that route?
Well, UND was where my grandpa played.
Okay.
Also where my mom competed. So my grandpa played basketball at UND, and then my mom was on the track and field team there. And so we were UND fans growing up. I would go to games and I would cheer for them. And so they were kind of the dream school for me to get to play in state for my home state. That was a pretty cool opportunity. So when they gave me the chance to go play there, it was kind of an end of my recruitment because
game over. That's a yes. So now kind of fast forward to your accident that took place in, I believe it was 2019. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yep. December 27th of 2019.
Wow. Do you want to just kind of give us the story? Like what happened? How did it all go down?
Yeah, I went on a ski trip with a good buddy of mine. We went to Keystone, Colorado. And first run of the day, I was coming out of the trees. I hit a little jump as I came out of the trees. I collided with another skier that was coming into the trees. and lost my balance, went headfirst into a tree. Thankfully, I was wearing a helmet. I highly recommend anyone that goes skiing or any type of action sport and wear a helmet. It could save your life. It saved mine. But I crushed the middle of my back. No head injury, no neck injury. It's a miracle. You go head first into a tree and you don't have a head injury. But I did crush the middle of my back. So my spinal cord injury is at T6-7. But my function is a little bit higher at T4. So that's where I'm classified at is T4.
Okay. So that makes you basically chest down para.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. Got it. So after the, you know, accident took place, I mean, were your friends able to assist? What kind of, I mean, I'm sure there was just utter panic that started out and you're probably, you know, sitting, were you knocked out from the accident?
Yeah, I was knocked out just for a little bit.
Okay.
A few seconds. And then I came back and I remember that first moment. And I assume a lot of people that go through an accident have this moment where like your first thought is like, okay, just like get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all fallen down hundreds of times in our life. And every single time before that, we've been able to just get up. And I remember trying to push up and like feeling pinned to the ground. The other skier that had collided with me was off to my left and he came over and I remember him saying, "Hey man, are you all right?" And I kind of whispered to him like, "Nah, I don't think I am."
Yeah.
And I just remember feeling pinned to the ground. And once I kind of was like talking to my legs, like, "Come on legs, like you guys got to move."
Yeah.
And they weren't moving. I realized, man, this could be pretty serious. And that was the first thought of, I think I might be paralyzed.
I can't imagine how quickly your head just kind of spins the moment you kind of recognize the fact that something that you've done your whole life all of a sudden is gone. So it sounds like the other skier that you hit was not severely injured in the accident. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah. So I was coming out of the trees. He was coming in and we both started to turn away from each other. So he was kind of going back out away from the trees. I was kind of turning back into the trees. So when we collided, my route went right back into the trees.
Got it. Well, that's terrifying, but thankful that both of you weren't, you know, severely injured from the whole ordeal. So kind of following the injury then, what was kind of the biggest mental, physical hurdles that you had to, you know, navigate? You did recovery at Craig Hospital, I believe, who we've talked to some others who have also attended Craig Hospital. So it sounds like a great place, but kind of walk me through those hurdles that you had to tackle.
Well, I think the hurdles change. I mean, you get over the first hurdle and then the second one is there and you get over the second and then the third one. I mean, I'm not sure that you ever really run out of hurdles. You're always trying to overcome something.
Mm-hmm.
The first hurdle would be to sit up, you know,
like
the first days I had flat on my back. And so that was the first hurdle was like, can we sit up and not pass out from the pain? I remember day four, I sat up and I lasted 14 seconds. The goal was to try to get to 15. And I just blacked out. It was too painful.
Wow.
But day five, I got to sit up and I lasted minutes. Significant improvement. Day six, I got to get in a wheelchair for the first time. Day seven, I started pushing the wheelchair a little bit.
Yeah.
So just the continuous improvement of one hurdle after the other and trying to get better every single day.
Those hurdles have to be a little bit disheartening. You know, especially when you're dealing with them, but how are you able to kind of decide you're going to kind of have this more positive outlook on it? Because I think from myself personally, I would find it disheartening and constantly bringing myself more downwards. And so you must have had some turning point in which you started having a more positive outlook on this.
Yeah, I got told early on, David, that, My life was really going to go in one of two directions. I'm not even sure what doctor or medical professional it was, but I remember they came in and they said, "Hunter, usually with spinal cord injuries, you see people take one of two paths. You either kind of see this slippery slope into depression and despair and kind of this, you know, you don't really do anything with your life. And this thing owns your life and you're really defined by your injury. Mm-hmm. Or you take a completely different path. And this actually is something that springboards you and you find success and joy. And this is something that actually you're going to have a huge positive impact, not only in your life, but on other people's lives. And I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, this is a defining moment in my life. What are you going to do with it? And yeah. I think my background in athletics helped with the response, because I think a lot of people react when adversity hits.
Yeah.
And, you know, all through my life, I've been told, you know, we don't want to react, we want to respond. Mm-hmm. And our response, whether it be, you know, fourth down and one, and you need to get an extra yard and you got to dig a little bit deeper, or, you know, sitting in a wheelchair paralyzed, the response is actually the same. And it's, I'm going to respond with composure. I'm going to respond with confidence. I'm going to respond with tenacity and a work ethic and a drive. Those things, whether you're playing football, whether you're in the classroom, whether you're farming out here in North Dakota,
yeah,
those things don't change when you face adversity like I did with my spinal cord injury. So I think my past kind of helped prepare me to handle the present. And
right,
man, my response has to be positive and just looking for daily improvement. And if you can stack enough good days on top of each other, eventually great outcomes happen. So that was the mentality pretty much from the start.
That's an incredible mentality to be able to kind of achieve. I like that you had somebody who kind of let you in on the fact that you're going to go one of two ways, not, you know, nobody kind of plays the middle ground here. So it's up to you. And you took that upon yourself, which is awesome. You know, I'm assuming you probably have advice for others who might be dealing with challenges in their own lives, not necessarily others who have been paralyzed. Maybe that's the case. But what kind of advice do you give to other people who might be dealing with their own personal challenges that you could kind of apply across the board?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing is to realize that you're not the only one struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think that you're alone in your struggle, I mean, that's just not true. People have struggled with what you're struggling, and they've gotten through it. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. So that's the first thing is, man, I thought, you know, in my situation, oh, poor me. You know, I'm the football player that is now hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been thousands of people just like me that deal with spinal cord injuries. You know, there's millions of people mm-hmm. across the world that deal with disabilities. I just hadn't had my eyes open to that world yet. And so that would be the first thing I'd tell them is, like, number one is you're not alone.
Yeah.
And so I'd tell somebody that right now, no matter what you're struggling with, there's been somebody out there and there is somebody out there that's gone through what you've gone through, and they will help you.
Yeah.
You know, somebody out there that has a testimony, has a story, has something for you, but you have to be willing to go out and search it out.
Right.
And when you find it, you have to be willing to listen. You might not be able, you might not agree with them, but you have to be able. So that would be the first thing I'd tell them. And then the second thing I'd tell them is that struggle. I really think that if you use it in the right way, it can turn to strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, it's all sunshine and roses. I mean, I have bad moments,
right?
There are hard moments in life, but sometimes I feel like my broken puzzle, that one of those pieces ends up being the perfect missing piece in somebody else's story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really felt like my story can hopefully help other people's story. And, you know, part of me can be the missing part of what they needed. And if they can find something, find some hope, find some joy, whatever it is, find some perspective
mm-hmm.
in my story, and they can apply it to theirs, and suddenly theirs, it clicks, and they can take a step forward and make improvements, and they can find joy in their own story, that's powerful. I feel like that, man, I don't know if you're going to find much more fulfilling things on this earth is to see that, man, my struggle wasn't in vain.
Right.
It had some purpose behind it. So
right.
I would just tell you that, man, if you can just keep stacking days, just keep going, eventually you're going to find some good, and eventually that good is going to be good for somebody else too.
So a couple episodes ago, we interviewed Scott Hogsett, who is the world renowned USA rugby, wheelchair rugby player. And you know, he talked about finding wheelchair rugby and really having that be a catalyst for his, you know, continued recovery and attitude, just positive attitude. What kind of brought you into the world of wheelchair sports, and was it as impactful in your recovery as you thought it would be? Or did you ever, when you first got hurt, did you expect or want to get into like wheelchair sports? Was that last thing on your mind? Kind of how did that all play out?
Yeah, good question. First off, Scott's a dog. respect to him. But yeah, adaptive athletics. When I got hurt, I really had this feeling on my heart that I didn't want to be done competing yet. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I wasn't done yet, and I felt like I got cut short. My football career got cut short, and so I didn't have the chance to score any more touchdowns, you know, on the football field for the University of North Dakota. But
right,
there was an opportunity still to compete, and you know, I played a lot of basketball. I was, you know, multi-sport athlete, and I had a good high school career. And so I thought, you know, why don't I, you know, pursue wheelchair basketball? That could be something that I think I could find a lot of, number one, success in, but also just joy in competing again. That was right. The main thing, would just allow me to compete. And for me, it was a mental battle of, I didn't want to let my injury win.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to let my injury define me. I wanted to define my injury.
Totally.
And so that's where basketball came in, and we had a ton of success at the University of Arizona. I'm really proud of what we accomplished on the court. We went to back-to-back national championship games. We won nearly 100 games while I was there for 3 years. But what I found with adaptive sports, and I hope other people can find, is that what we got to do was really, really fun. And it was cool. We got to travel. We got to win. It was really, really cool and fun. But who I got to do it with,
yeah,
is what made it special.
Totally.
And I think that's true in wheelchair basketball, but I think that's really just true in life. Like, man, what we get to do is fun, and it's important, and it matters, but it doesn't matter nearly as much as who we get to do it with, because all the wins and all that kind of stuff, that stays behind. Like, that's mm-hmm. going to be at the University of Arizona. That's in their record book. But what I get to keep is the relationships. You know, I get to keep the friends that I made. I get to keep the memories that I have with those people. So that's what adaptive sports gave me, was it gave me a community of, man, you all are struggling in your own ways, and together we're going to come to do something together that's really special.
Right.
So that's the best part of adaptive athletics.
I guess this kind of is backtracking a little bit, this question, but as far as getting into adaptive sports, you know, right following your injury, were you convinced you were going to get better? Or how long did it take you until you realized, like, I'm going to, like, adaptive sports is the option now? Like, did you have a period of time where you're like, no, I'm going to find a way to walk again? Like, don't fret. We're getting this figured out. You know, like, how long did that take? Or was someone very early on like, this is, you know, going to be a lifelong thing?
Well, that's a great question. I think everybody goes through at least a moment of time where they think to themselves, like, well, I have to get better.
Yeah.
Like, there is no other option.
Right.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, early on, like, I'll be the guinea pig. I remember saying that to my mom, like, I'll be the guinea pig. Like, you can test me. All I want to do is walk again. And what I've come to find out is, man, I just don't have enough time for that. Like, to be completely honest with you, I got so much more to do in life than just walk.
Yeah.
I think you can find joy in so many things, and you don't have to be standing up for it. You can be sitting down.
Yeah.
And so someday, if I get the opportunity to stand up out of this wheelchair, that'll be fantastic. I mean, what an end of a story. What an end of a life.
Yeah.
That full circle that eventually gets to happen. But I don't need that to happen to be content with my life. And I feel like I had so many other things to do, that someday if that research comes out and paraplegia and spinal cord injuries get cured forever, amazing, bless and praise God. But I just don't think that's the top priority for me. I want to spend time with my friends, my family. I want to do things that I love, and I want to love others in return. And so, I think you can find a lot more fulfillment in that than maybe even, getting up in an exoskeleton, taking a step. I don't need to prove that to anybody. So, that would probably be my answer to that one.
Let's go ahead and kind of dive into maybe some misconceptions that people might have over someone who's living with a spinal cord injury. Like if I'm on the outside looking in, maybe I haven't been as affiliated with, you know, an organization like MCPF, and I meet somebody with a spinal cord injury. Is there any misconceptions that people have that you want to just squash right away?
Ooh, that's a great question. There's probably a lot of them. I don't know how long we got on this podcast. I would say that, you know, spinal cord injuries, and I'm talking from my perspective, this is not for everyone, but in my perspective, from a paraplegic perspective, when you have full hand control, you know, independence can be found. Mm-hmm. I'm a fully independent person. And I really think I can do pretty much everything I used to be able to do. I just have to do it in a little bit different way.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big misconception, is like, you know, I'm confined to a wheelchair. That's not true. I am not confined by this wheelchair. This wheelchair has actually taken me more places than I ever would have gone standing up on 2 feet. Mm-hmm. It's opened doors that I couldn't imagine being open before my accident.
Right.
So that's just a broad one, is like, man, people are not confined to wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. It's part of who they are, but it's not all of who they are.
Right.
And so that would be like from a broad sense overarching, but then just like some nitty stuff, you know, people with spinal cord injuries, you know, they can have children.
Yep.
That I think a lot of people, I know I asked that question right when I got hurt, is like, is this even possible anymore?
Yeah.
That's probably a big thing, is like, you can still have a family. And
has that been, I mean, you're of the age now where I'm assuming you're, you know, looking for that significant other to spend the rest of your life with, kind of thing. And, you know, has that hurdle been something difficult to get through with, you know, relationships and things like that?
Well, yeah, the hurdle of relationships. And I remember asking myself the question after my injury, like, is anybody ever going to love me in a wheelchair?
Right.
That's a real question that totally. People ask. And looking back at that now, you know, 5.5, 6 years later, I look at myself like, oh, you're so silly. You know, like, you have no idea. Of course people are going to love you in a wheelchair. You're the same guy. You're just, you know,
yeah,
a foot and a half shorter. So as far as the relationship thing go, you know, I have a girlfriend, and you know, I hope she sees the wheelchair. Like, I don't want to be with somebody that it's not a like, oh, you know, I don't see it, or oh, I don't care, but like, this is who I am.
Right.
The chair comes with me.
It's part of it.
Exactly. It's part of it, but that can't be the only thing they see. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they see it, but I also hope they see a guy that is grateful, that is joyful in every single day when the sun comes up. It's part of me. And there are people out there that are like that. I found one. And I hope it's encouragement for somebody out there that is still searching and looking. There are people out there that will love you sitting in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You don't have to stand up for that, for them to love you. But yeah, I found that you can have relationships. You can have fun. You can travel. You can do everything that you used to be able to do. You just do it in a little bit different way. And it might hurt your ego a little bit at first, but eventually it just becomes your new normal.
Exactly. Awesome. So kind of going back to, you know, the intro that I gave when we first started here, obviously you do a bunch of keynote and motivational speaking. And, you know, you do these things at universities, at corporations to teams, you know, football teams, sports teams. When you do those presentations, what is typically the message that you're trying to promote? I'm assuming it's very similar to what you've kind of shown here today, but is there kind of a succinct message that you're always trying to get across?
Yeah, the number one thing is I hope people can relate to me when I talk to them in an authentic way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not here to be fake with you and rah-rah and you do these things and success is going to find you. And no.
Right.
That's not what I'm here for. Number one thing is I want to hopefully tell you my story. Hopefully you can take something from my story. You can relate it to your life and you can walk out of here thinking a little bit differently than when you walked in. That's my goal.
Yeah.
And so I use my story to try and relate with people because struggle is struggle. Mm-hmm. But you might not be sitting in a wheelchair, but you've gone through something, mm-hmm. right? So number one is to relate to people. And then number two is to hopefully give them a different perspective on life going forward. And probably my most common keynote, my most popular message is called No Bad Days.
Okay.
And it really just focuses on gratefulness and a mindset of, man, I've gone through tough things, but let's focus on what we still have, not what's been taken away, what we still have. And if we focus on that and the truth that we have in today, we can find good moments in it. And if right. we can find some good, then it's not bad. It might be tough, but it's not bad. Mm-hmm. So I dig into that quite a bit on the gratefulness topic. And I think that can relate, you know, to a future 500 company, but it also can relate to a high school football team. So
totally,
that one's been a pretty popular message.
So what's next in the world of Hunter Pinky? Like, what do you have on the docket? Do you have kind of goals, aspirations, things that you're getting into going forward?
Yeah, I've got short term goals. I've got some long term goals. As far as what's on my mind right now, it's that we got 4 inches of rain up in North Dakota last week. Woo! And so our crops need to dry out a little bit so that we can field and get some nutrients on them and get them growing the way that they should be. So that's probably what's on my mind most right now. Secondly, it's building season for our other business. My dad and my mom own a home building company. And so we are moving house. My dad is actually moving a house right now.
Wow.
So can we keep these houses on schedule and get these things built? I'm kind of trying to live in the present. I do try and set goals because I think they set your direction.
Yeah.
You know, a destination of some sort sets your direction. I'm going here. But then it's just about living in the present and doing your daily work and taking it day by day. Yeah. I tried to plan far out in the future. I'm going to have this job. I'm going to live in this type of house. I'm going to do that. And then I get hurt with a spinal cord injury and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And your dreams change. And so I do have goals, but at the same time, man, I'm living day to day. And I would tell you an overarching goal is I hope that every day I can fill somebody's glass up. You know, my interactions with them give them some hope of like, man, he's got something that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully drop in their glass. And I can make it their day a little bit better. Man, if I can do that 365 days for the next, I don't know, 70 years.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live a pretty good life.
Heck
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, just trying to be a difference maker every day, whether that be in my family or whether that be, in a different state, a different country. That's the angle.
Well, I'm sure this episode is going to do nothing short of that. I mean, that is 100% what is going to be the outcome of this episode based on your words here today. But I've got one more question for you and then we'll call it, you know, kind of call it quits. We're right at time here. But my last question would be if you could go back in time and, you know, whisper something in your own ear when you first got injured and, you know, kind of try and set your path and avoid all of the maybe not avoid, but lessen kind of the pain and the suffering that came along with the injury. What would be the one thing that you'd want to, you know, tell yourself back when you first got hurt?
Yeah, I'd whisper in my ear. I'd whisper to myself, it's going to be okay. It's actually going to be better than you could have imagined. and just to trust God's plan. I think a lot of times fear gets in the way of seeing the daily miracles that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared at the beginning, and I think it's okay to be scared. But it's not okay to let that fear overtake us and keep us from the beautiful things that God has in store. So I just tell myself that it's going to be all right. It's going to actually be better than you even think. Smile a little bit and keep going. Keep trusting.
Perfect. That is a wonderful way to end today's episode. I do want to take a moment. Shout out to everybody who's watching us on YouTube. If you are, we'd love a subscribe and, you know, hit the thumbs up icon and a bell so you know when new episodes drop. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, you could always give us a follow. But from all of us here at Spinalcast, Hunter, thanks again for joining us on today's podcast. I'm sure your message is going to ring true for everyone in our audience, no matter whether they're injured, not injured. If they're any way touched by this community, you are a bright light, that is for sure. So thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, you bet, David. It's been a pleasure. Have a good one, man.
You as well. See you guys next month.